real briefly this morning, because we are here today because our Lord Jesus Christ literally rose bodily from the grave in a glorified body. And as I mentioned, because he lives, we too will live eternally. I want to start out today reading John chapter 20, verse 1. It says, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him.' So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying there in its place, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside and saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They've taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they've put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you put him and I'll get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means 'teacher.' Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I've seen the Lord.' And she told them what he had said these things to her." Father, as we look at the facts of the resurrection today, Lord, fill our hearts with hope that because Jesus Christ rose bodily from the dead, those of us that have put our faith in him as our Lord and Savior also will one day bodily raise from the dead. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I want to start off today with just a few paradoxes about the life and the death and the resurrection of our Lord. He began his ministry by being hungry, and yet Jesus Christ is the bread of life. That's a little strange. Jesus ended his earthly ministry by being thirsty, and yet he's called the living water. Jesus was weary, and yet he is our rest. Jesus paid tribute, and yet he's the king. Jesus was accused of having a demon, and yet he cast out the demons. Jesus wept, yet one day he's going to wipe away all our tears. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, and yet he's the redeemer of the entire world. Jesus was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he's the good shepherd. And Jesus died, yet by his death he destroyed the power of death. Today I want to just cover one part of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of course that would be today his resurrection from the dead. In the New Testament alone, there are over 300 verses that talk about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't just one place, it's all through the New Testament. And if you study the Old Testament with an eye looking for the resurrection of the Messiah, you'll see many places, even in the Old Testament, where it's taught ahead of time that the Messiah is going to die and he's going to rise again. So the resurrection is, number one, a sign for, guess what? Not believers, but unbelievers. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, Matthew, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So this sign is given. So he says a wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign. Let me ask you a question. How many wicked and adulterous generations have there been on this earth? Do you know the answer is every single one? People are still looking for a sign, looking for a sign. If you're up there, if you're out there, just show me a sign. Well, the only sign you're going to get that's of any importance at all to you is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. They never found the body. There was no way to find it because it was literally gone. The resurrection is the answer for the unbeliever's doubt. I mentioned it was a sign for unbelievers, and when you understand that Jesus Christ literally rose from the dead, that's the only sign you need. In Luke chapter 24, verse 36, if you recall the story, Jesus had walked along the Emmaus Road. This is after his resurrection. This is the very Sunday after resurrection. Two disciples are walking along a road going to Emmaus, and all at once Jesus shows up talking to them and explaining to them what the scripture said about himself and that he had to rise. Well, after Jesus departed from them, those two disciples rush back to Jerusalem. They get to Jerusalem, they're telling the apostles all about that they had seen Jesus in a body after his resurrection. And it says in Luke 24, 36, while they were still talking about this, so you can imagine the excitement. "We saw the Lord." Mary had told them already she had seen the Lord too. And they're in confusion. What's going on? While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do your doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." You know, you can't be a witness till you see it, can you? They had just seen the resurrected Lord. We can witness that we have faith in our hearts that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, but I didn't see him in a resurrection body yet. I will, but I am not a witness of that. I have the assurance in my heart, but I was not an eyewitness. But there wasn't just a few eyewitnesses. There were many, many eyewitnesses. The resurrection serves as a guarantee that Jesus' teachings are true. If he really rose from the dead, then everything else he said is absolutely true. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You've made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he's received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. So the Lord is risen just as he said, and we can take great hope and great joy in that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the center of the gospel itself. If you don't know much more about the Bible than the resurrection, you know enough. I got to tell you, you need to study more because there's lots more to learn, but that's the foundation of everything that we as Christians believe. In Romans chapter 4, verse 24, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Justification is the simple teaching is just as if you and I had never sinned, because Jesus Christ paid for it all. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, we talked about Mary seeing Jesus raised from the dead. We talked about the two witnesses on the Emmaus Road, and then the apostles all saw him, but that's not all. The Bible wants you to understand that there were many, many witnesses of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures the third day, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. There's not a court that I know of in the whole world, unless it's a crooked court, if you had 500 eyewitnesses, men and women, who had seen anything, there's not a court around that would say it never happened, that I know of. The resurrection is the primary emphasis for our evangelism. You can talk about all kinds of things about the Lord, but if you aren't talking about the resurrection, you're missing the message. In Matthew 28, verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 39, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he was the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Folks, it's so important we believe in the resurrection. It's the foundation of our faith. I mentioned to you earlier, I was not a witness of the resurrection itself. So I can't tell you I saw Jesus in a resurrected body. But I am a witness of the living Christ, what he can do in a person's heart who puts their faith in him. He's changed me. It's an amazing thing. I got saved at the age of 25, and when he came into my life, he literally turned it upside down. And I can tell you as a witness of that, that Jesus Christ is alive, because nobody else was ever going to change me. Your belief in the resurrection is a key indicator of how powerfully God works in your life. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. The Apostle Paul really believed in the resurrection, and he wanted that power in his own life. The resurrection is a model of what's going to happen to those of us that have trusted in Christ one day. Probably within 10, 15, 20 years, this old body's going to give out. It might be tonight, I don't know. But within probably 20 years, this old body's going to give out. It's going to go in a grave, and it's going to sit there until the resurrection. But when the Lord comes back to the clouds, my body's coming out. I believe that with all my heart. Listen to the words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall forever be with the Lord. So before we go downstairs, I want to announce to you, if you're here with us today and you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have not believed in the resurrection, you're not trusting in that at all, here's what you need to do. Make it simple as I can. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 again, we read it once. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. In other words, what you're doing is you're confessing that Jesus Christ is God. When you say he's Lord, there's only one Lord, and that's our God. When you confess he's Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not might be, not could be, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. John 3:16 says it about as simple as you can possibly hear it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let me just ask a question before we close. Have you reached that point yet? Have you placed your personal faith in Jesus Christ as number one, your Lord? In other words, you believe in your heart Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Have you received him as your personal Savior? Folks, it's so important. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. I want to close with this idea. Little Philip was 8 years old, and his parents, he was born with Down syndrome. I'm sorry. Anyhow, he was born with Down syndrome. He's 8 years old, and he starts going to a Sunday school class. And he joins in the class. There's five other boys and girls, all third and fourth graders. They're 8, 9 years old. And they kind of take Philip under their wing, but he's still a little different, and so they don't really take him in as one of the group. Well, he had a very creative Sunday school teacher. And the Sunday school teacher, one day, it was the day just after the next Sunday after Resurrection Sunday, he told the boys and girls, he brought in a bunch of, some of you gals maybe remember when they used to sell ladies' hose in what was called eggs, and it was a plastic thing that held the eggs. Well, he got a lot of those eggs. This is kind of not the same thing, but I didn't have any of those. They haven't made them in years. But anyhow, he gave each child one of those plastic things that you could open up. And he said, kids, what we're going to do today, every child's going to take one of these, and we're going to go out around the church, and we're going to find new life showing what the resurrection means. So each child grabbed their egg and rushed out the back of the church, and they're all looking around. Some of them found little leaves that were just budding out, and they put it in as new life. Some of them actually found a cocoon in new life. The worm's going to turn into a beautiful butterfly. And so they found all kinds of things, and they brought them back into the classroom. And the teacher said, okay, we're going to open them up one at a time, and we're going to talk about that new life, because he's talking about resurrection life. And so they opened the first one, and there was that leaf, and all the kids went, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Brand new life, springtime, it's new. They opened up the one with the cocoon, and oh, yeah, that's going to change from a worm to a butterfly. That's new life. And then they opened up one last one, and it was totally empty. And all the kids went, hey, that's stupid. Somebody didn't do their job. And little Philip spoke up. Philip was the one with the Down syndrome. He said, that's my egg. And the kids all said, oh, Philip, you always goof everything up. You never do your job. And Philip said, I did do my job. It's empty because the tomb is empty. Folks, I hope you believe that. Because if you don't get that, leaves don't quite tell the story, and neither do butterflies. What tells the story is the empty tomb. Jesus Christ our Lord rose from the dead. If you have that faith in your heart, your body too, one day is going to rise from the dead. Yes, I'm going to die. I understand that, and I don't mind that a bit. As you get older, you'll start to look forward to that time, because everything hurts. The old saying is, if it doesn't work, it what? Or if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't work, okay? Life gets that way. So I'm looking more and more and more forward to getting home to heaven, and I hope you are too. Enjoy it while you got it, the life you've got, but realize this life will not go on. One day, you too. Maybe it'll be 50 or 60 years for you. Maybe for some of the younger ones, 70 or 80 years. Hope it is. But sooner or later, you're going to come to that point. And a belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is going to make it so you'll live forever. So, Father, we rejoice that we do believe in the resurrection. We believe that our Lord Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood to pay for our sin. But we certainly don't believe that his body is still in a grave somewhere. Lord, we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe that Jesus Christ did bodily raise from the dead, and we believe Jesus Christ is coming again to get our bodies, that we too might have a glorified body and live forever with him. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.